those that would help us in signing up to bring a soup. I think there's three selections back there, and not just, you know, three places, but three different types of soups, if you will, with many different slots for people to fill out and bring. We certainly want to have more than enough. We don't want to run out, and if we do run out, we want it to be at the very end, you know, not in the middle. So the more we have, the better off we will be, and you always are also so kind and generous in doing that. Also, we're asking everybody to, it doesn't have to be grandiose, doesn't have to be that big and spectacular, but our theme is Noah's Ark, and so we are asking you to dress up as an animal. And you say, well, I don't have a costume, or I'm already an animal, or whatever. But it can be something simple. I mean, you can just wear cat ears and paint your nose black. I don't care. But try to do something to acknowledge that you're participating, you're a part. And so we are going to use this coming Sunday night as set up for the harvest. No, we're not. I'm sorry. Thank you, Sister D. She is, man, just like that. What we are doing on Sunday is after the Sunday morning service, we are having a luncheon. And then following the luncheon, we are getting things together and setting up for the harvest party. So a little change in plans. We had talked about coming back later at night at 6 and working, but we decided to just work after the luncheon and get it all done. And then you can go home, go your separate ways. So Sunday morning, regularly scheduled services, Sunday school at 10 a.m. And then our evangelistic service at 11 o'clock. Following the 11 o'clock service, there will be a luncheon, and then following that luncheon, there will be the setup for the harvest party. Another thing we need from each family is please bring a couple bags of individually wrapped candy so that we can put the candy packages together to hand out to all those that will be coming through on a week from tonight during our harvest party. Remember, it is from 5 to 7, and so that's a little bit early, and I know some you may have to rush to get here on time. But we need your help and assistance, so maybe you can convince your boss to let you stay late another day and leave early on Wednesday. I don't know what your schedule is, but hopefully if you can come and help us from 5 to 7 next Wednesday night, that would be wonderful. And so that probably needs to change on the calendar. It probably did not change. Brother Ryan asked me, but did you update the announcements? And I said, yeah, I sure did. And then I recognized that I didn't announce that portion of it. So Sunday, just a little bit, and just want to say it one more time. Minor change in schedule. Sunday morning, regular scheduled services. Following Sunday morning service, there will be a luncheon. And then following that luncheon, we will use that time to set up for the harvest party. So we'll have all night to work on it. Breeze has been updated. So though I have failed to update the announcements, Breeze has not, Sister T has not failed to update Breeze. So that is good to go. Other announcements upcoming. Looking forward to a week from this Sunday. My parents will be in town. My father will be ministering in those services on November the 4th. So we're looking forward to that. Obviously, other things happening during the month of November. Our special Thanksgiving service, the week of Thanksgiving. We move our midweek service back one night and have our special Thanksgiving service on Tuesday. We realize many people are traveling, families coming, going during the week of Thanksgiving. So we don't want to not have a service, of course. We want to have a service giving Thanksgiving unto God. And so we are moving it back one night. And so that is on the Tuesday night, which I believe is the 20th of November. We are having our special Thanksgiving service. So we're going to take some needs of the Lord in prayer. If you have a prayer request, why don't you slip up your hand real quick and we'll call upon you. Sister Kellen. All right. That's certainly. All right. Yes, certainly. Sister D? All right. Certainly, let's remember Brother Caulfield in prayer. Certainly, continue to remember Sister Grammy. She's recovering from knee surgery. Sister Rachel Wallace, as she's recovering from her sickness. Also, especially remember the Sierra family, man. They have just been a rash of sickness in that family, both Jocelyn, Camilla, Chris, and now Bo. And there's just a lot of touch and go with Bo and his situation. At times they would test and they wouldn't show pneumonia, and then they would, and then his fever would spike again. And so it's just been a rough time for the Sierra family. So continue to lift them up in prayer that God would heal and work in that situation. Anybody else? No participants on the left, only on the right. That's okay. Yes. Yes, Sister Davis, and covering your strep, correct? And yeah. Viral, all right. So let's continue to remember her in prayer, certainly. Why don't you stand? Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you that we can come to you with every care and concern of life, Lord, for these needs that are mentioned before you in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the praise report, God, of what happened to Brother Caulfield's life. God, as Brother Kellum stepped in, God, and stood in for him on Sunday, Lord. Lord, we ask you to complete the healing, God. Give those that are dealing with this situation wisdom, God, and orchestrating his medical care. Lord, I love you. I thank you that we can come to you for each and every need, care, and concern, Lord. Teresa, God, situation of the blood, God, of the family members, Lord, for Brother Bill Kellum as he continues, God, to recover from the situation there. Lord, we thank you for your healing touch upon those here in this place, God, for Sister Rachel Wallace. God, continue to touch Sister Grimm, God, in the recovery of her knee surgery, Lord. We pray for the Sierra family, Lord, that you would minister unto them, that you would help them, Lord. We come before you for Johnny Atkins, God, continue to work in his life, God, continue to do great work, God. We love you. We appreciate your goodness and your mercy and your grace that we can come to you, God, with every need, every care and concern of life. God, let us believe in the power of prayer, God, that we can make our petition and request known unto you. We come in recognition of who you are, God. Hallelujah, Jesus, how wonderful you are, where you are. Your perspective is so different from ours, God, and we want to give you glory and praise, God, for your holiness and your righteousness and your goodness towards us, God. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We honor you, God, for all that you are and all that you do. How wonderful you are, Jesus. In your precious name, in Jesus' name we ask. Hallelujah. Why don't you clap your hands to the Lord? He's worthy of praise. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. We're continuing in our midweek Bible study talking about the fences of offenses, how the fences built from offenses can keep the bad stuff in and the good stuff out. Last week we talked about one of the greatest weapons that we have against becoming offended or being offended is gratitude, that being thankful and appreciating those beautiful, precious moments that God places in our lives when his kingdom shines through, when people do the exceptional thing, when people that we interact with or are involved in, they do something that we understand is as a result of God's work in their life. And we should recognize those times and we should be grateful for those times. And as we are grateful and as we're thankful, it's very difficult to become angry. So when we are offended and we remain offended, we retain anger. We harbor resentment. We keep this bad stuff in. And we keep the good stuff like gratitude and thankfulness and those things that we should appreciate and those things that we should give praise that are praiseworthy, those good things that we should think upon. If there be any virtue or any praise, think on these things. And so we talked about how that is our weapon. Gratitude and being thankful is a weapon that we have with which we can fight becoming offended. Now that we need to work on being people who are grateful for what God has placed in our lives. We are grateful for God's work in our lives. Even in tribulations, the Bible says we glory in tribulations. Even in those hard times. Even in when we're persecuted. Blessed are you, and men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. And we talk about how that's kind of difficult sometimes. To be happy when people do things against us. And to not, you know, harbor that resentment and not to retain that anger. But if we do, if we become grateful, if when we're in a relationship and someone says something that angers us or offends us, we can't let that override all the good things that happen in that relationship. We can't let that one negative trump all the positive. And so we've got to be grateful for the positive and the good things. And that will help us fight retaining the anger and becoming a remaining offended. And so tonight we're gonna take a little bit more. We're going to talk about another thing that will help us in not becoming offended. Not building those fences in our lives which keep the bad stuff in and the good stuff out. We're going to talk about another way that you and I are able to help, if you will, ourselves from becoming offended. Allow the power of God to work in our lives where we are not people who are prone to offense, but we are unoffendable. We've talked about that. Yeah, I know that's a grandiose statement, to be completely unoffendable. In other words, I'm not affected by anybody and what they say. But you got to think about it in this light, and we'll probably look at this a little later on in the study. If there was ever a hero of being unoffendable, it was Jesus Christ. Think about all the things that were done to him, things that were said to him. Even the religious leaders of that day, if you understand the context of what they say, when they basically tell him that he's a child of fornication, basically tell him that he's an illegitimate child. All these things happened, many different things. Obviously, during his what we commonly call the Passion Week, when he was reviled, when he was persecuted and spit upon, and all the things that were said to him, Jesus was absolutely unoffendable. You just couldn't offend him. No matter what you did or what you said. Matter of fact, the only time we see, if you will, that spark of maybe humanity in the sense of a reaction has nothing to do with how he is treated, but it has everything to do with how the house of God is treated. So when it came to him and his person or his image or who he was, no matter what they said, he wasn't offended. So if you and I are truly endeavoring to be Christ-like, well then we need to become grown up. And we need to come to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. And we need to work on being unoffendable. I am not able to be offended. I want you to look at this passage of Scripture. It's found in Psalms, maybe. Is it working? Oh, please. Turn it on. I might need some batteries. Pause for technical difficulties. Hey, we got it. Psalms chapter 46, verses 10 and 11. How many of you know Psalms 46:10? Be still and know that I am God. Or you've heard a scripture. Maybe you've seen it on a plaque. You've seen it maybe on a tab somewhere. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Question, anybody know what the context of Psalms chapter 46 is? Well, maybe if you go back a verse. We know 10 pretty well. Be still and know that I am God. We've had to go back just a verse to kind of understand the context. If you read the whole chapter 46, it'll give you maybe even a better grasp and understanding. But just go back one verse, Psalms 46:9, and you will find that it is in the context of warfare. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear asunder, in sunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. And then the next verse is, be still and know that I am God. So right before, be still and know that I am God, this is what it says about God. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. So the context of Psalms 46 is in regard to warfare, being still and allowing God to fight the battle. Now we've talked about this before, but I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but this I've come to know in my walk in relationship with God. If I learn to hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battle, if I understand vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. And I don't try to fight the battle myself, and I just give it over to God. Things work out much, much better. When I don't try to do it on my own, I don't get my flesh involved. And we talked about the character of God, how that God in his character, because he is pure and he is holy, in his character, he can be angry. We cannot. Our character will not hold up to it. His will.
And so when we understand to be still and know that He is God, to be still, to essentially stop fighting and allow God to fight the battle. And really, that when you think about it, in terms of relationship with people, in terms of being offended or working out an offense, there's so many times that we are offended and it starts a fight. Man, we go to war. And this is said, and that is said, and damage is done. And we all know that the little nursery rhyme is not true. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. We all know that's not true. We all know that words do hurt. There's the power of life and death is in the tongue. And we recognize that things are said. And while we may not go, you know, fisticuffs, we may not truly get into physical altercations, many times our offense causes a verbal spat or emotional spat. Things that are done in retaliation or in response. And we want to control the outcome. Maybe we feel like we've been wronged and we've been slighted, and now we want justice for how we've been treated or what's been done or said about us. And so we say in retaliation. And so there's this warfare that breaks out, if you will. There is this combat that exists in an offensive relationship where someone is offended and they do not let it go. Offense, and there's fighting. So let's look at it. How do we handle this? What do we do? Well, there's a passage of Scripture, Exodus 14:14. As the children of Israel stand before the Red Sea, the Egyptians are pressing in behind them. There's walls, mountains on either side, and the only thing they see is the Red Sea stretched out in front of them. Now they're worried that the Egyptians are going to take them back, and they're going to go back to Egypt. Now they're complaining, Moses, what'd you do? Bring us out here in the wilderness to die. We don't understand this. There's no escape for us. Can't go right and left because of the mountains, and we can't go towards the Egyptians because they'll kill us, and we can't go to the Red Sea. We'll drown. And then this passage. The Lord shall fight for you. Ye shall hold your peace. The Lord shall fight for you. You shall hold your peace. Be still. See the salvation of the Lord. Verse before, Moses says, be still and see the salvation of the Lord. Recognize this is not your fight. Recognize that God is going to do something here. You hold your peace. Let the Lord fight the battle. Be still and see the salvation of the Lord. Here's the first thing that I want to talk about that we do or need to do. In regards to offense. So we need to slow down. Slow down. Sometimes we have that knee-jerk reaction. Sometimes someone says something to us, or maybe we've taken it the wrong way, or maybe we don't understand the motive. Our knee-jerk reaction is they've slighted me. They've said something against me, or they've done something against me. So if we don't stop and slow down, often the knee-jerk reaction is retaliate. The knee-jerk reaction is respond. You hit, I hit back. That's the natural thing, if you will. That's our human nature. Our human nature is not to turn the other cheek. Human nature is not if he smites you on one side, you turn to him the other also. That's not human nature. That's God character, but that's not human nature. Our human nature is to strike back. To retaliate. Now, here's the thing. We're living in a world that's rushing everywhere. Think about this. It's, you know, the hustle and bustle. And certainly as we enter the holiday season and things pick up, you know, and schedules become more full, and there's holiday shopping you got to get in, and there's family and all these other things that have to happen. It's like time speeds up almost. And an already busy society just becomes that much more busy. And in this rush, we're rushing past those beautiful, exceptional moments that we talked about last week that we should be grateful for. And we're just rushing along, and we're busy. Busy. We're doing this, and we're going here, and we're going there, and we're trying to get this accomplished. And we're trying to make sure all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted, and we're trying, we're endeavoring, we're striving, and we're busy. That's not always such a good thing. Matter of fact, many times that becomes a negative thing. Because we're so busy, we're rushing everywhere. We rush past beautiful, exceptional moments into another encounter with offense. Why? Because we become prone to offense simply from the pressures pressing in on us from all around. Because we have so much going on. Because we feel like we're, you know, the old saying is, I'm pulled from both ends, and I'm burning the candle at both ends, and I'm here and there and everywhere. And because I have so much going on, man, just the slightest thing sometimes will just set me off. Just a word that really wasn't meant to be harmful, but man, it just hurt and it stung, and so I retaliated. And maybe if the pressure wasn't up so high, and I didn't always feel like I was cooking, I didn't always feel like I had all this going on in my life, maybe I wouldn't be so susceptible. Maybe I wouldn't have those knee-jerk reactions that I do, but I'm so busy. I'm just going here and there and everywhere. There's just so much going on in life, and if somebody took the time to really consider that I've got so much going on, don't. This happens. Bumped here and I'm bumped there. Man, I'm prone to offense. Sometimes we need to understand that in our busy lives and in our hustle and bustle, slow down. Another reason why we become offended sometimes is because we are so busy. Someone has just inconvenienced me. I only have so much time, and that time is being spent on so many other things. This person doesn't seem to understand. Become offended. This is how it works. I need a lot of volunteers. Come on. A lot of volunteers. Just come on. Come. Walk up. Lots. Many volunteers. Come on. This is not lots. I need lots. All of you going to go over that way. Go by where Sister D is. Sister D, halt. Come on. A few more. Come on, don't be shy. Come on. All right. So all of you going to gather that way, all right? So all of you kind of turn this way. Well, this is how this is going to work. Now, think about it this way. And this is why, as Christians, if we are not careful, we are easily offended people. Because not only do we have to deal with the world and all their stuff and all that they're doing and all the sin that surrounds us and all the wickedness and the evil and all that other stuff that we have to deal with on a daily basis, we have to rub shoulders with it, right? We have to be out there in the world. So I want you guys to kind of, don't form a single file line, get kind of like, all right, come on. Shoulder to shoulder. Okay, not because I'm trying to be, you got it? Not that I'm trying to be uber spiritual, but let's pretend that I am, and I hope that I am, a God-fearing Christian endeavoring to walk counter to the culture, endeavoring to walk to the things of God, endeavoring to live a life that is pleasing unto Him, living my life according to the principles and precepts of the Word of God. And let's just, for argument's sake, say that these people represent the world. Okay? Come on. Woo! Preach it, brother. Now, you see it? You see it? I see it. Now, this is what happens in our life, because as we've talked about many times, being a Christian is counterculture. They don't do what we do. They don't live how we live. They don't have the same aspirations in life. They don't. They are walking broad as the way that leadeth to destruction. So they're walking this way. So all of you, as one, kind of walk this way. And we're walking this way. And what is? And they're rushing. And this is what happens. I'm trying to get through. And this is going. Now, here's the thing. If I'm easily offended, come on, keep going. What you doing? Go through. If I'm easily offended, thank you. Beautiful illustration. Thank you for your time. The point is this.
They're rushing one way. They're hurrying one way.
And if I'm not careful, and I don't have thick skin, and I don't endeavor to live my life in an unoffendable manner, I'm going to get bumped a lot. And quite honestly, they don't care. They are on a mission to do whatever it is they're doing. They have aspirations. They have goals in life. They want to succeed. And if that means bumping you out of the way for them to get to where they're going, they're fine with that. They don't have an issue with that. But understand, it's on us as Christians to not, when we recognize that we are walking counterculture and we are walking differently than they are, we're going to get bumped again and again and again and again. And just like them, we have bad days. And just like them, we have times when it ain't going so well. But we have to work on being different. We have to work on saying, I know I'm going to be in the world, and I'm going to go on a job place, and they ain't going to talk like I talk. They're not going to have the same aspirations that I have. But I can't have thin skin. I can't let everything they say and do offend me. I've got to look at it. The Bible says you got to look at it as a blessing. It says rejoice, leap for joy. So this is what, I'm not going to bring them all back up here, but this is what the Bible tells me I should be doing. Meanwhile, I'm getting bumped. Meanwhile, I've got my own pressures in life. Meanwhile, I've got my own schedule to keep. Meanwhile, I've got my own obligations. They don't care. And bumping me out of the way ain't a big deal to them. Until I get offended and say, hey, what'd you do that for? Hey, what'd you talk like that for? Hey, what'd you do that for? Oh, yeah, you're a goody two-shoe. So now that I've become offended, now I've let it get to me, then they stop and look. Then they went, oh, yeah, you're one of those types. But let me ask you this. Have you ever seen, maybe on a movie or a commercial or something, how that it's the person that is walking. Like if you get off a subway and everybody's walking, exiting the subway, and you're trying to enter the subway in a very busy city, you stand out from among the crowd. When everybody else is hustling and you're just walking at a leisurely pace, you stand out from the crowd. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. There has to be a separation. It's not only talking about in our physical appearance. It's not only talking about it's talking about in every facet of our life. We are separate from them. We live different than they do. And part of that is going to cause conflict. And part of that is going to cause them to bump me all the time. Got to be unoffendable. I got to slow down, weed my way through the crowd. Going to get bumped. I'm going to get hit. They're going to say things that hurt. They're going to ridicule. They're going to mock. They're going to do all those things. But I can't let it offend me. Instead of trying to rush through as well, instead of trying to make it just as fast as you can, slow down. Don't be in such a hurry in life. Jesus said this way, hey, take no thought for tomorrow. What you shall eat, what you shall wear. Not life more than meat, body more than raiment. Just slow down. Just things will happen. Things will come. Be still. Know that I am God. Slow down. Don't rush all the time. Where's my clicker? I'll slow down. Literally means be still. Stop. Strike. Pressing them. Everywhere. And I want these things, the goals and aspirations. And I'm not against all those things, but keep them in perspective. Don't let your striving and your continual pressing for this keep you from stopping. Find those exceptional, beautiful moments that God places in your life and be grateful for. Slow down. Don't let all the bumps that you're getting in life from other people offend you. Be still. Know that he is God. Stop striving. God wants us to drop our arms. That's not arms. No more defensiveness. No more taking things personally. No more thinking God needs me to police and parent the unruly. Slow down. Just be still. It's not on you. I hate to break it to you, but God doesn't need you to police and parent the unruly. He'll handle it. Just be still and know that He's God. Hold your peace. Let the Lord fight your battle. Slow down. Be still. No more playing judge or jury. No more attempting to discern what others' motives are. Wonder why they did that. Wonder why they said that. Oh, I know what they meant by that. Do you? You think you do, but do you? Why? What's the point? Be still. Stop striving. Pressing all the time. Why are we so easily offended? Why do so? Of what benefit is this to us? How does it help? How does it help you? Feel like you need to police and you need to make sure and you need to parent and you need to look. Why? What benefit is it to you? Well, here's a benefit that we think is a benefit, but it's not, because it makes us feel better about ourselves. Oh, really? Then we become judge of what is right and what is wrong. It's not my job. We place more on ourselves than God ever intended for us to handle. He didn't ask us to handle that. He didn't ask us to be judge or jury. He just said, be a witness. Be a witness of my work in your life. That's all I want you to do. Just be a witness. Just walk in this world as a witness. And one of the ways that you are a witness of who I am is you're not offended. Man, I got real quiet. One of the ways that you and I are a witness of God's work in our life, the power of God resonating in our life, is that I don't react the way everybody else reacts. I don't respond the way other people respond. I'm unoffendable. Because I've slowed down. I understand it's not my fight. I've learned to hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battle. It's on Him. I don't need all that. Why? Why do so? Of what benefit is it? How does it help? Newsflash, it doesn't. It makes matters worse. When we try to play roles that God never intended us to play. And we've got other things that God intends for us to do, and we don't do. Be still. Stop striving. Folks, being offended is exhausting. It is. Being offended is exhausting. That's funny, but oh so true. For those of you who are married or have been married, you recognize it. It's, man, being in a spat with your spouse is exhausting. It really is. Am I going to say this? Am I not going to say this? Am I going to kiss goodbye or am I not going to kiss goodbye? Am I going to speak unless spoken to? It's exhausting. It really is. Being offended is exhausting because you're all the time trying to evaluate. You're all the time trying to discern as to whether I should respond this way or not respond that way. It's just, man, it's like swimming in peanut butter. You don't get anywhere. It's exhausting. Because this is what we do. Start appraising people by how they treat me. We do. Holding on to anger, harboring resentment, justifying my bad attitude towards someone else, evaluating what everyone else does or says to me to see if I have been slighted. And that's an exhausting job resume for staying offended. If you want to continue to not have rest in your life, I'm talking about spiritual rest. You want to continue to always be, then just keep doing this. Just keep appraising everybody. Just keep evaluating everything. Just keep trying to justify why you're in a bad mood, why you're always angry, why no matter what happens, no matter what somebody says, it's just I'm all the time just flustered, and it doesn't matter if somebody can say the smallest thing, and I just knee-jerk reaction. Being offended is exhausting. And it ain't good for me, and it ain't good for anybody in connection with me. People feel like they got to walk on eggshells around me. Man, don't set her off. Be careful what you say around that person. I'll tell you right now. You say the wrong thing, or, oh, so-and-so's got a short fuse. Careful. Careful what you say. That's a minefield you're walking over there. You step in the wrong place and boom, it's on. That's exhausting. All the time trying to figure out whether I should do this or do that. Who wants to be in that kind of relationship? Think about it. Who wants to work that hard at something? Don't you understand that being unoffendable is a lot easier? Just to make the choice, I'm not going to be offended. I'm not going to work, because staying offended is, you got to work at that, man. You got to harbor that resentment. You got to hold on to that anger. You got to determine, I ain't going to forgive. I'm not going to move forward. I'm just going to stay right here, exhausted, hanging on to my offense. It's time consuming, mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually draining. Offense is exhausting. Why do so? What benefit is it to us? How do I help the situation? Get over it. Let it go. Move forward. Stop retaining things. Stop harboring resentment. Let the anger go. That stuff is wearing you out. You're not getting rest. You say, I'm tired all the time, but I don't ever feel like I'm resting. Move on. How does one get off this exhausting hamster wheel of offense? I'm running all the time. I'm exhausted and hurrying and trying to get there, but I ain't going anywhere. But man, I sure am. I'm busy. Going and doing. I got so many irons in the fire. I'm getting burnt all the time. Hello. Pastor's just so exhausted. That's not the rest that the Bible is talking about. The Bible is talking about you and I coming into rest and truth. So some of that, you know, one of the reasons why we're so weary sometimes and we're so exhausted and we feel like, is because we're so busy doing things God never intended for us to do. Just stop. Slow down. Be still. Know that He's God. Let Him figure it all. He'll sort it all out. Those that need to be rewarded will be rewarded. Those that need to be punished will be punished. Then you just mind, saith the Lord, I will repay. Why are you letting it weigh you down and exhaust your life? Take your resources, take your time, take your mental effort. It affects you physically. It affects you mentally. It affects you emotionally. Why? It's hurting you more than it's hurting them. Let it go. How do we do it? Slow down. Slow down. Don't have those knee-jerk reactions. Just chill out. Chillax. What that means? Chill out and relax. Chillax. Just chill out and relax. Things are going to be okay. This too shall pass. Just slow down. Be still. Here's this third and final one that's really, really hard. Okay, I get it. Slow down. Get it. Understand. Chill pill. Relax. Then surrender control. This is a tough one because we still have a vested interest in the outcome. As long as we retain control, as long as we keep our hand wrapped around it a little bit, we feel like, oh, it's just I won't let it truly go. We don't learn how to surrender control to God and put it in the hands of God and say, Lord, this is your battle. I'm not fighting it anymore. I'm not letting it wear me out anymore. It's exhausting. I'm tired of being on this wheel and running all the time, and I'm just going to give it over to you. I'm tired. Put more on me than you ever intended for me to have. And so, Lord, I'm done. I'm going to surrender control to you and let you deal with it. You know what's best. You know how to fight this battle. You know what their motives were. I don't. You know all the situations and circumstances that surround what happened. I don't. I see my side. But unfortunately, that's all I see. You see both sides. You know what's best for me, and you know what's best for them. So, Lord, I'm just going to surrender control. I'm no longer going to have a vested interest in the outcome. If they do right by me, that's great. If they don't, I'm still going to love them, and I'm not going to be offended. I am not going to hold it against them. I am going to let it go. Just surrender control. When I give up my stake in the outcome, simply choose to let the Lord fight the battle, I am better off. It's a choice. You have to choose to do so. God will not take control from you. You have to give him control. You have, and not just say it, I'm going to give it to God. Well, then give it to God. If you're going to truly give it to God, then don't harbor feelings about it anymore. If you're truly going to, don't let it occupy any more of your time. Don't let it weigh on you mentally, emotionally, physically. Let it go. Move forward. Get off the wheel. It's exhausting. It's of no benefit to you. Here you go, God. Here you go. I'm just going to hold my peace and let you fight my battle. You'll do what needs to be done, and you'll do it much better than I could ever do it. So here you go, God. It's yours. Give up the heavy gavel meant only for the hand of God. Live life unoffendable. Easier. Take in a deep breath. Enjoy those exceptional, beautiful moments that God places in your life. Let the light of his love shine through. Give, get, move forward. Stop letting it occupy your time and your resources. Just give it to God. I'm grateful for all those things, all the positives and those negatives that happen, because they will. Offenses shall come. There'll be times you're going to get bumped. The more you try to walk according to the Word of God and not after the course of this world, the more you're going to get bumped. The busier they are, the less they care about your feelings and what happens to you. Just give up. Have a stake in the outcome. Say, God, it's up to you. It's not that I don't care, but it's a recognition that you care more than I care. And the way you're going to handle it is going to be much better than the way I would handle it. So here you go, God. Now I'm just going to go get some rest. Just going to get off the wheel. We'll grab a Gatorade. Chill. Relax. In closing, you can stand to your feet. It's so much easier. It really is. And I think that may be why the enemy, one of the many reasons why we fight so hard, and the enemy wants us to continue to be offended. The enemy wants us to waste time and resources and effort. The things that don't really, they don't matter that much. And giving up my stake in the outcome, really, in the grand, it's not that big of a deal. Because who I am and my identity and my character, it doesn't rest upon them. God's not going to look at that person in the end time and say, hey, how do you feel about this individual? I mean, we laugh at that, but that's the truth. When it comes down to it, there's only one I'm going to stand before. There's only one I'm going to answer to in the sense of how I handle my life and how I handled offenses and what I did in regard to other people. So how much better off am I going to be, not only in this life, but in the life to come, if I just give it to God and say, Lord, it's yours. I'm just going to be grateful for the good things. I'm just going to focus on the positive things. And these negative things and these things that are trying to get me all twisted and messed up, I'm just going to give them to you. I'm just going to let them go. I'm not going to spend any more time on the wheel running myself to death, trying to figure it all out, trying to understand the motive, trying to discern whether they really like me or they don't like me. I'm just not. It's not worth it. And it's not that I don't love them and I don't care. It's about the fact that I understand there's a God who loves them more than I do. And there's a God who cares about them more than I do. And so, Lord, I'm not going to spend any more valuable time that I could be doing helping other people and doing other things and wasting on this situation. I'm just going to let it go. Be exhausted with this. Done. It's over. I'll move forward. Here's this heavy gavel that I've been welding for so long. Figure out how to handle it. Lord, it's heavy. I don't want it anymore. Here you go. It's yours. Go rest. Go and operate in the ways you want me to operate and do the things that you want me to do. Let all the other stuff I've been trying to handle, stuff that you never asked me to do, and I'm going to stop doing it. Just follow you and love you and live a life that is unoffendable, full of rest. Not worrying myself with it anymore. Lord Jesus, we love you. And I'm thankful for your word, which so teaches us, God, which helps us truly live a better life. A life that is enjoyable and pleasing, God. A life, God, that is not so encumbered, God, and burdened down with all the things that we attempt to do, Lord, that you never placed upon our plate, God. You never, God, ask us to do those things, Lord, but let us focus on those things that we can do for you and your kingdom, Lord, and let all these offenses go, God, because those fences that we construct because of them, Lord, they keep the good stuff out and they keep the bad stuff in, Lord, and I don't want that anymore. I want to find rest, God. I want to let being exhausted and always being tired and weary with life, God, I want to let that go. I want to get that out, Lord, and I want to take in your rest, and I want to feel your peace, Lord. So, Lord, I'm surrendering control. I'm going to slow down, be still, and give it to you and let you fight my battle. And I'm going to get up and enjoy this life that you've given unto me. And find rest in you. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You may go in Jesus' name.